Chase, Willie, and D-Maze live here from Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena as the Preds are set to take on Central Division rivals, the Dallas Stars. Puck drop is at 7 p.m. tonight. Preds fans, hang out before the Preds game at Superbook Lounge in Landshark Bar and Grill, Margaritaville on Broadway with 102.5 The Game. Place your bets with Superbook and enjoy great food and drink specials. Plus, enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to upcoming Preds games. We are going to go straight to St. Thomas Ascension Park Sports Complex, where Mike Vrabel is speaking to the media now.
And win, and so you can only, you know, you only have so many guys inactive each and every week. So, but for most of those, you know, discussions or conversations, you talk to the player, and you know, they tell you how they're feeling, and then I'll, you know, try to tell them what my thoughts are, and you know, kind of go from there.
And then with the 5-game losing streak, you know, being in the midst of that, does that make that challenge, that balance a little bit tougher to weigh out? Whereas obviously you need
for this week. I mean, I just, you know, we're at where we're at. You know, and those are, you know, trying to figure out what's the most important thing and what's best for the team and, you know, what's best for the player.
In trying to evaluate and develop Malik through this process of late in the year, how much can you kind of add to his plate in the game plan each week?
Well, I mean, I think you're trying to progress through each and every week. You're trying to, you know, add as much as you think that each player can handle at every position. You know, and certainly that position requires a lot more than, you know, some other position. So, you know, we try to only give them what they can handle and what they can reasonably, you know, go out there and expect to do.
How much more is he handling versus maybe 6-7 weeks ago?
I think it's gotten better. And I think that, you know, there's been some, you know, real positives and then some things that we're continuing to try to work on and correct and, you know, work on the progression and work on just speeding up things and, you know, the communication and all the things that go into playing quarterback.
As far as preparation standpoint for this week, what's your schedule look like as far as on the field, in the classroom, and maybe how do you decide what's most important on a short
week? Well, I mean, we've tried to, you know, come up with a plan that's been, you know, all about trying to get recovered mentally and physically with these guys and understand the toll that the game takes on them each and every week, especially late in the season. I'm glad that they had, you know, spend some time with family on Christmas, and, you know, we'll add a little bit more than what we did yesterday from a walkthrough perspective and try to get moving around in individual. You know, today will still be, you know, a lot of team reps in a walkthrough setting. You know, tomorrow we'll probably ramp that up a little bit. I think that, you know, just some of the timing things that go into, you know, especially throwing the football, you know, seeing where guys are at and seeing what we can do from a speed standpoint to get ready for Thursday night.
What can you do from a meeting standpoint Thursday during the day since you've got a full day there?
Well, you try to get a little bit in, but I don't want to, like, you just haven't been in those positions to sit in meetings all day. You know, I think it's important to get them up. You know, what we've done in the past is get them up, you know, get over here. We're at home, so we have a great facility. You know, feed them and have some brief meetings just to kind of stimulate them a little bit. Maybe get them up, move them around, walk through, and really just try to give them the day to, you know, to put themselves in a stamp, you know, in a mindset to go, you know, prepare and win and, you know, perform. So just because you have the extra time, I don't think it's beneficial to sit there and meet all the way up until 5 o'clock. But I think it's important to do a little bit in the morning and then give these guys an opportunity to get into their routine that they have for the game.
How do you handle your stress load right now? I mean, this is kind of uncharted territory for you as head coach. How do you know what's too much and how far you can push yourself and your team?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, to be in these positions, to be able to, you know, withstand and handle adversity and, you know, where we're at. I mean, it's, you know, nobody wants to have been in this position. Nobody wants to, you know, have the amount of players and the turnover that we've had to have. But it's also my job to figure it out and to communicate, to lead, to, you know, be honest with where we're at. And, you know, I don't, I kind of handle it by being around the players, being around the coaches. I find that that's always best, you know, that when you concern yourself with other people, you have less of a chance to sit there and worry about yourself. So that's what I try to tell the team. That's what I, you know, prescribe to. I try to be around the players and teach and coach.
There's no real playbook for that, Mike. How did you kind of figure out what works best for you in that process?
You know, I think that there's a lot of trial and error. I think I've gotten a lot of help, you know, from things that we've tried to do as a family, or, you know, just when you work through things and, you know, just getting back to fundamentals, getting back to, you know, the consistency.
In times like this, do you reach out to some of the guys that you've mentioned as mentors, like Ron Rivera, Bill Cowher?
No, I mean, I think that this is, No, I mean, other than to say Merry Christmas, you know what I mean, and keep grinding. You know, that's what I texted Ron. This isn't too much for us to have. We're excited. You know what I mean? We're excited where we're at. We're excited for the opportunities. Like I said the other day, like, you know, watching guys like Jordan Roos, you know, just prepare and leave it out on the field and again, played well up until, you know, had some plays that he'd like to have back and late in the game in protection. But, you know, every one of our favorable runs or our explosive runs, he was there finishing or pulling around, making something happen. And, you know, it's those guys, Corey Levin or any of them that have gotten an opportunity because of the situation that's presented itself for whatever reason that they've gotten that chance is taking advantage of it.
Found that in all that you've had to go through with injuries and subbing guys in and out, that the fact that there still is an avenue to the playoffs, sure, is pretty simple. How much does that kind of keep the carrot out there dangling?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're all, you know, I mean, we're all fighting for, it is to get into the tournament and then figure out a way to do that. We have a game Thursday. You know, we have a huge opportunity in front of us, you know, on a national stage. You know, and I think that, you know, again, whether you look at some of these games that were close and for other reasons didn't go our way, you know, that's disappointing because you had some opportunities and you could say, well, it was because of this or that, or, you know, you're beating the Jaguars and you turn it over four times and, you know, don't do a good enough job on sudden change on defense, or then you go out to L.A. and, you know, it's competitive and it's on and on and on. But now it's, you know, it's focusing on, you know, where we're at with the Cowboys.
How do you like some of your veteran players have kind of managed the locker room, keeping guys more?
Well, I can't say enough for those guys, for Kevin, Jeffrey, you know, Danico, Derek. You know, I know Ryan's hurting. You know, Ryan's, you know, he's disappointed because he can't help us right now. Because it means a lot to him. You know, he knows what his impact is to the football team as a starting quarterback. You know, so there's just a lot of guys throughout there. You know, I think, you know, Robert Woods has provided some veteran presence, and, you know, I'm sure he would have liked to caught a lot more balls through the course of, you know, 17 games or 16 games or 15 games. But he hasn't wavered in his approach, his daily approach, being out there, being available, being a leader, blocking, has never hesitated. I mean, 15-yard reverse to Traylon, and he's finishing, and he's blocking, and that's right on down the stretch.
Looking at your opportunity this week, mm-hmm, this game doesn't affect your ability to get into the tournament, but how important is it to see one get into the win column and kind of find that winning formula again before the ultimate step?
Well, I mean, it's a great test against a talented football team, a good football team that just, you know, has won a lot of games. And so that's what we try to do each and every week, is figure out who you have, figure out, you know, what you can do, what you can run, and, you know, get them as healthy as you can, and then get them, you know, go play and go play hard and do the things that we know that win, you know, each and every day, just do them a little bit more consistently.
How much harder do you have to work, or maybe more creative have to be, to get the ball in his and Chick's hands, because they're good with it in their hands?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can only be as creative as you know, the guys out there will allow. I mean, I just don't want to put too much on guys' plate. You know, the whole operation, you know, there were plays where, you know, we were trying to get those guys the ball. You know, quarterback waited on it for, you know, a couple instances, and, you know, Traylon's got to run a better route or get open quicker, and it's on and on and on. And Trigg's not, you know, can't drop the ball when we throw it to him. And so, you know, we're going to do all those things. But, you know, just making sure that some of the scheme stuff that we do, you know, everybody's on the same page so that, you know, you're not hurting yourself.
Do you have to guard against it all, trying to do too much? Or have there been instances when you have a thin margin for error, the guys have tried to do too much and you have to coach against just doing what you
Well, I think it starts with everybody just doing their job and not doing too much and saying, well, this, you know, it's do your job first, do it really well, and then you can figure out ways to help other people. I think that's where it starts. You would like to have a foundation in what you're doing so that there is some – you know, repetitiveness, and that guys have gotten some work at it, just because they're going to give you a different look on offense and or defense, and you want to have answers, and you want to make sure that the players are, you know, things are sound and that they can go play.
I think
it's really good. I think he's put a lot of time in. I think he's been in a lot of different offenses. I think he's working hard. You know, to learn what we're doing, and, you know, being able to manage the game and understand the operation and all those different things.
You had mentioned, you know, being with the guys, being around this Titans family during a time like this with adversity, that's kind of helped you. And DeMarcus Walker said yesterday, you being not too far removed as a player kind of helps these guys that are stepping in. Just how much does that help, not being too far removed and understanding the player's perspective?
Well, I try to have a relationship with each and every player. Some I have a better relationship with than others, but, you know, I certainly appreciate what they do each and every day. And I guess by that, I mean, when when the players are off, those are probably my least favorite days, because, you know, you just want to be around players. You want to make sure, you know, you see how they're doing, try to help them, you know, have squad meetings, you know, provide information or be able to ask information and have them spit it back to you the way that they've been coached, and, you know, so that they know what they're supposed to be doing, but more importantly, their teammates know that they're getting prepared for the game. I think that's something that's critical. These guys go through a lot. You know, there's a lot being, you know, asked of them, not only here but outside of here. You know, a lot of distractions and things that they all deal with, that we all deal with, and, you know, I try to be conscious of that.
J.J. Watt says he's retiring. You know him well, obviously. What made him a different player than most?
Well, I think he played extremely hard. I think he was extremely talented. I think he was athletic. I think he had great size. I think his instincts, you know, you kind of had a certain defense that you kind of coached, and then you kind of had, you know, whatever J.J. ended up doing, and that's kind of how it went, you know. And so – if you were, you know, saying, hey, man, you got to play a 4-eye and you got to grind the tackle, like, it don't end up mattering. Like, he's just going to jump around him or do whatever and find the ball. So I remember this one story. We went round and around the defensive staff, and we were like, well, how are we going to cover this with this pressure? It was a Buffalo game, and we went all the way until Saturday. Like, you know, who's the end going to take? Or, you know, who's the backer going to come? It was like some weak side bunch. And so I don't even remember what we ended up going with the coverage and the blitz, but we ran it in the game. They ran the same exact thing. The guy was open, and JJ, as he was blitzing, intercepted the ball and ran it back 75 yards. And we just were laughing like, yep, I guess we spent too much time worrying about how we were. If we knew he was just going to intercept it for a touchdown, we wouldn't have spent as much time on the coverage. That pretty much sums up, you know, who JJ was.
Question in terms of being close to your players.
Geography.
Well,
I'm better at geography than some of the other stuff.
Is your office in the new setup down in that corner, or are you still in your old office there? I know you're close to the players, just in the course.
Yeah,
of the day.
I mean, my office is pretty much this entire building, you know. But if you have to know, if you go down those stairs and through those doors, You know, that's where my office is. I don't know if it's the front or the back, depending on where you're standing. But, you know, I think that being able to, when I say be around the players, it's positive interactions in squad meetings. It's dialogue. It's asking questions, answering questions, trying to relate to them or give shared experiences. It's going in the meeting rooms. It's being in meetings. It's being in a training room each, you know, every morning at, you know, 6:30 or 7 or 7:30 when they're supposed to be there. It's being in the weight room, you know, making sure those guys or the rehab guys or the IR guys or the practice squad guys, you know, that's what I mean by that. Thanks, guys.
That was head coach Mike Vrabel from Ascension St. Thomas Sports Complex. Talking about this team's matchup against the Dallas Cowboys. We're going to go to a quick break, but Willie, D-Mace, and I are going to react to what Coach Vrabel said and talk about all the things that are going on for this weekend's game. You're listening to Chase, Willie, and D-Mace here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
All that you've had to go through with injuries and subbing guys in and out, that the fact that there still is an avenue to the playoffs is pretty simple. How much does that kind of keep the carrot out there dangling?
Yeah, I mean, and that's what we're all, you know, I mean, we're all fighting for it, is to get in into the tournament and then figure out a way to do that. We have a game Thursday. You know, we have a huge opportunity in front of us, you know, on a national stage. You know, and I think that, you know, again, whether you look at some of these games that were close and for other reasons didn't go our way, you know, that's disappointing because you had some opportunities. And you could say, well, it was because of this or that, or, you know, you're beating the Jaguars and you turn it over four times and, you know, don't do a good enough job on sudden change on defense, or then you go out to L.A. and, you know, it's competitive and it's on and on and on. But now it's, you know, it's focusing on, you know, where we're at with the Cowboys.
Mike Vrabel just wrapping up with his press conference, talking about the team and where they go from here and playing up against the Cowboys, you know, five in a row losing. But you're tuning in to Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, presented by Hair Club. Hair Club, love your hair, live your life, creating custom hair loss solutions for men and women. We want you guys to weigh in on the 102.5 The Game phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. I mean, that was a great question there. You know, the carrot is still dangling in front of the team. The playoffs are still in reach. There's a way to get in. And, you know, this game, going up against the Cowboys Thursday night, fellas, is not the game that this team is particularly worried about. He didn't really go into much about who's going to be playing, what's going to be the game plan, you know, going forward. But we all know what's going on here. I mean, it's week 18 against Jacksonville. You win, you're in. You lose, you're out.
Yeah, it's obvious that you have to plan for how are we best capable of preparing the team for the Jacksonville game. That's where everything lies. But what he did say, Derek, and this is tricky. You and I were talking about this during the break before. We were curious to hear what he's going to say there. Because of the roster, you can't just call up 20 guys from AAA,
yeah,
right? You can't do it. You might want to give 15 guys the day off, but you have to pick and choose who you want to rest if you want to rest them. He didn't get specific, but I'll tell you this. I would absolutely rest Jeffrey Simmons. That's one guy I'm putting at the top of the priority list. And he said he was going to get input from some of the guys. Jeffrey Simmons could beg me to play on Thursday, and I wouldn't play him. He has got to get back to being – he's got to put the cape on his back. They need him to be a dominant player. Since the ankle injury, and he battled through it, he's just not the same guy right now. So maybe a week will help. Maybe it won't. But I think they got to try to rest him and just get him off of that ankle for a week and see what happens in Jacksonville.
You know, that's a tough decision to make because Jeffrey is one of your best players, if not your best player. And yes, he's dealing with some injuries, but everybody else is dealing with injuries too. I am with Kevin Byard. It's, you know, and he said this a couple of weeks ago, we're just trying to find a way to win a game, let alone we're not playoffs, division. We just need to win a game.
Well, they need to win Jacksonville. Yeah, they don't need to win. They don't need to win the game on Thursday.
Yes, but I think, as much as they want to. I think it's going to be hard because, again, you got this rookie quarterback underneath the center, and you're going to say, well, I'm going to rest my best player, arguably, Simmons, and I may rest a couple other guys. And Malik Willis, here you go. It's going to further send this team into a bad place. I just think they need a win. Granted, yeah, that last win is the win. But I think going into that last game, if they choose to rest everybody and they go out there and they just get just railroaded and just run out the building, I don't see how they then pick themselves up to play Jacksonville in Jacksonville. Last game of the season, and I told you, Jay, they're on two different
trajectories.
Yeah, exactly. Jacksonville is going up. Everything's great with Jacksonville.
Yeah.
The Titans are just falling further and further in the abyss. And they need a life jacket, and that life jacket doesn't need to come potentially at the end of the season.
But we need to get rescued now. From a player's perspective, and I want your opinion on this. Can they mentally go into this game, you know, some of the veterans that are being sent, knowing what's at stake the following week and understand, you know, this is an NFC opponent. This has nothing to do with our playoff hopes. It's basically throw this out of the water. Mm-hmm. Can they not understand that this game doesn't matter and understand that that loss isn't going to have the impact as to, say, the five previous? I get you want to get a win, mm-hmm. but that's just not – that's just not the win that they need right now. It's not the game. And I think going into this Jacksonville game, the number one thing that this Titans team is going to have to do, and I think it's the only way that they're going to get a win, mm-hmm. is if this defense is healthy and it's firing on all cylinder mm-hmm. and it's creating turnovers to put the offense into scoring position. I truly believe that is the only way with how depleted this roster mm-hmm. is and the people that they're missing is that this defense is going to have to be the defense that we saw in the first half of the season before all of them went out with injury.
This team, without Ryan Tannehill, will not beat, and I repeat, they will not beat the Jacksonville Jaguars without Ryan Tannehill.
I mean, I agree with you. I'm on the same boat with you.
So to me, regardless of what you do, if you can't play Thursday, you can't play. But if you can play as a veteran guy, as a guy that wants to win, I'm saying I need to play. We need to get this taste out of our mouths as players. We don't need to go into the last game, you know, going into it on a six-game losing streak. We need to get some momentum going because if we end up losing this game in whatever fashion, because you chose to rest people, who's to say you're going to get up for that Jacksonville Jaguar game at the end of the season? Who says that all of a sudden now these guys are going to be just 100% healthy?
It's like
we need to win a game. It's not like we won a division. We're sitting everybody. Game don't matter.
Right.
We need to get wins for the morale of the team.
It's a classic dilemma, uh-huh. and I've seen it work both ways. I have seen teams that know they're going to have a bye and still rest everybody on the last game of the season. I'll give you an example. 2008, the Titans beat the Steelers, the infamous towel stomping game. It was a big game. Steelers ended up winning the Super Bowl.
I watched.
Yep, I'm sure you did, Junie. A young Junie watched that game. Rooting for the Steelers. But it was a great win for the Titans. They locked up the one seed, and then in the final week, they shut it down. And I mean, they shut it down. They didn't even try to win. They got embarrassed.
And what happened?
They lost momentum, and they were not sharp at all against Derek Mason's Ravens. Absolutely. They fumbled the ball three times in the red zone, mm-hmm. And it cost them. They were not sharp for that game. And I kept thinking, look, it's one thing to just rest some guys, but you still have to try to win the game. Mm-hmm. So I get the dilemma. But, man, in this particular instance where you know you've got to beat Jacksonville, and that would salvage something, right? You're not likely to have a good taste in your mouth with the situation you're in. Without Tannehill, it's going to be tough to do anything in the playoffs, which is a big, big thing. And I wanted to hear a little bit more about where Mike Vrabel is on Willis right now. But I have got to give myself the best chance. I cannot play Christian Fulton. I can't play Jeffrey Simmons.
Well, who
I
you
can't
gonna play?
Play Amani Hooker. I'll play anybody I can.
You ain't got the bodies.
You can't rest everybody, but you've got to. You have to have your key guys that are injured. Mm-hmm. If you're not injured, I get it.
Uh-huh.
But Simmons is hurt. Fulton is hurt. Hooker has been hurt. So I'm picking. I'm going down that list, and anybody who could use a breather, I'm taking out of the lineup on Thursday. I don't care if you lose 40-7. I really don't.
I'll play devil's advocate
with you. To me,
that's
the lesser of two evils, in my opinion.
Uh-huh.
I agree with you, Willie, but I'm going to play devil's advocate for one reason, because this is a Thursday night game. So they're going to get the entire weekend off. They're going to get to watch Jacksonville play Houston, and then they're going to get the whole week to prepare. So it's almost like a miniature bye. So I think – Just on the basis of if the guys that are able to play, and let's say for whatever reasons the Cowboys come in here and somewhat overlook the Titans, kind of like we are right now, and they play competitively against one of the top-notch teams in the league, could that be a morale boost for this defense and something that can lift their spirits going into that game in Jacksonville?
That's the dilemma. I think that's where you're going,
yeah.
Derek. That's what you're shooting for.
It's like we gotta get out of this.
I want to do that, but I've got to rest my horses. Uh-huh. My horses, those guys need – I've got to have my defense looking like the defense it looked like when they were 7-3 before they started dropping like flies.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. I mean, but again, I'm from the school of thought of we got to get out of this losing streak. We got to get it. And we can't chance it. To say, oh, we're gonna beat Jacksonville at the end of the season, and that'll be worth everything. No, I got to get out of it now and hopefully take that momentum into the Jacksonville game.
Either way, it's going to be really tough. We're gonna talk more about the Titans going forward. We're going to get into a little bit of the Preds as they have a huge Central Divisional
Speaking
game.
Speaking of Dallas versus Nashville.
it's the week.
This is game one. It's Dallas-Nashville tonight and then Dallas-Nashville, Dallas-Tennessee on
Thursday.
It seems
like they're doing that a lot this season. But we're going to get into both the Preds and Titans matchup going forward. You're listening to Chase, Willie, and Demas here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. We're back here from Terry's Tavern here at Bridge Pete and Terry's. I'm sorry.
Just get Pete.
You skip Pete. Pete. Come on.
Pete and Terry.
He's going to have a word with me in the press box next time I see him. You're listening to Chase, Willie, and D-Maze presented by Hair Club.
A good job, Junie. You're doing a good job.
Appreciate it, Willie.
Stepping in.
Love your hair. Live your life. Creating custom hair loss solutions.
Oh, wait. That wasn't directed
men.
To me.
Yeah, I was about to say, Willie ain't got no hair.
Well, D-Maze, do you?
No, I ain't got none either.
Either way, something from the Mike Vrabel press conference that I was really, I think we were all listening for was, is anybody going to ask about Joshua Dobbs? And I think when they did bring up Dobbs, Vrabel had a really vanilla answer. He's like, he's been in a lot of offenses.
Very general.
He's putting a lot of work. He's trying to learn the offense. And it just seemed like he was throwing that towards the wayside. And when I'm looking at a game against Dallas that means absolutely nothing for the trajectory of this Titans team going forward, other than the morale boost that Derek is talking about, I see this as an opportunity, whether it's starting him or at least letting him play the second half if we're getting the same struggles for Malik Willis. Why not play Joshua Dobbs to see what you have, to see if you can get any kind of production out of him and see if the amount of time that he has spent as a backup moving around the league, being with different teams, can kind of put this offense with how banged up it is to a new level. What are your all's thoughts on that?
You know, that is it's a tightrope to walk, man, I'm telling you. Because essentially if you want to go in that direction and you want to start Joshua Dobbs, yes, he's been in the NFL, 3 years? But he hasn't had much experience. If you start him, what you're essentially telling Malik Willis is, we don't think you're ready. We don't know if you will ever be ready. So we're going to move, and we're going to go in the direction of Joshua Dobbs. And just say, just say Joshua Dobbs comes out and does a wonderful job, and say he wins the Dallas game, Malik Willis is not ever going to be your quarterback moving forward. It's just not.
You think it's that plain cut and dry?
Yeah, it's just that cut and dry. You know, either you let him finish out the season and you try to do whatever you can to win a ball game, or you sort of, you know, if you start Dobbs, you're essentially moving on from him, you know, because what you're saying is, I know my offensive line is crap. I know my receivers can't catch the ball half the time and they don't get open. I know I've had injuries at that position with my number one receiver, Treylon Burks. I know the running game has been, you know, at times. But we're going to make it all your fault. We're going to make it everything that has happened prior to you and even with you underneath center. It's your fault. So now we're going to try Joshua Dobbs. That's a killer. That is a killer for a quarterback. Because essentially that's what you're saying. Instead of saying, I know all these problems that we have, it's not your fault. We've thrown you in a situation that is not advantageous to you. Well, we're going to stick with you, and we're going to do our part, and we want you to do your part. And this damn season's a wash anyway. It is. Because even if they manage to get in the playoff, they ain't winning a game.
Oh, no.
This season, to me, they're not now. They may win a game. I'm not saying it's 100%. But even if you get in, it's – how far are you going to go? So my thing is, if you in your mind still think that this kid has a chance and you want to give him a legitimate opportunity when you're healthy and everything is, you know, the team is looking good, if you want to give him a shot, then great. But don't make it seem like he's the problem when the guys up front can't block themselves out of a wet paper bag. And you got injuries at your receiver position. Your number one guy's not playing. The defense has their problems. But then you say, hey, Malik Willis, it's your fault. Yep. Come on in, Dobbs, see if you can do the job. That's unfair because you've already put him in a situation that is not made for success. And you're not – I go back, you're not developing him. I haven't seen any development of this quarterback since preseason. I'm just going to call a spade what it is. Somebody's not doing a job. Somebody, either Malik Willis or the coaches that are tasked, that are put there to make sure he develops as a quarterback. That's your job. And he hasn't developed. Whiteside, Woodside, he didn't develop. So they got rid of him. I don't know what more to tell people.
You sound a little bit like Coach Willie to me when you say that, because how often have I been saying some of these things with Downing,
right. Yeah.
Like with that, when you say, you know, how am I supposed to call the plays when I got no offensive line, my receivers are hurt, I got rookies here, I'm trying to make it work with it. It is hard, no question. I am absolutely saying you have to have Willis play the game on Thursday. I do think if he's struggling up to a point where it's just not happening, I'm concerned short-term and long-term. I think you owe it to yourself to just take a look at Dobbs a little bit if it's not going well. Because here's the other thing, Derek, you're right. You're trying to look long-term. You don't want to ruin Malik Willis, right? You don't want him to completely go away and say, you know what, we've created a situation where we've ripped his confidence to shreds. Because we have not put him in a position to succeed. But you're also looking to see, is he making progress at all? You know, I want to see something he's doing well. I'm really not seeing it. Even from a running perspective, he can run. But he's not really running. He had the one really good touchdown run. 7 carries for 43 yards, not much. But I thought there were more opportunities. Maybe in a game where you're really struggling, your passing game is hampered. Find ways to run a little bit more. I would have liked to have heard a little bit more of an exploratory line of questioning to say, okay, would you consider Dobbs? Maybe they're not considering him at all. Maybe it's Malik Willis until the end, no matter what happens. But I do worry about if he does not succeed at all, if it looks the same as it has, then what does it look like for the following year.
No, you're right. I mean,
like, we've heard of young quarterbacks thrown in there, and they didn't have any success, and they really never recovered from that.
I can go back to, you know, just a handful of quarterbacks that I've seen throughout the NFL that they didn't get that development early on, and they struggled throughout their career, or their career didn't last, whether it's they were not developed properly or they were put in a situation where, you know, everything around them wasn't secure. Everything around them wasn't advantageous to the quarterback. So they get in a position now, it's like, what am I supposed – that's what people are so afraid of Trevor Lawrence. Last year he was put in a situation where it was not conducive for him to succeed. And people wondered, will he get over that? Luckily, he got Doug Peterson, whole new coaching staff. Had they won another year with that coaching staff, I don't think he would have been able to recover from what they put him – from what they had him go through.
It definitely would have been really – really hard for him to go through that. But, you know, you touched on a great point there, that who is to blame for the development of Malik Willis, putting him in this position, the lack of progress that we've seen. We're going to touch more into this coming next. But play silly underdog picks today. Pick three football underdog picks that you think will win this week for a chance to win great prizes. Play now at thegamenashvilleapp.com or 1025 The Game app. Silly underdog picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. And also, Willie has something he would like to share about Lee Company.
I do. Let's talk Lee Company. Our coverage begins tonight at 6 o'clock. The Dallas Stars, the leaders of the Central Division, are in town tonight. So this is matchup number one, Dallas versus Nashville, and then, of course, the Cowboys coming in town on Thursday. Lee Company, proud sponsor of Predators hockey. You'll see the display here in Smashville. It's going to be a great crowd tonight. Predators and Stars going head-to-head. Lee Company also, I'm sure, has been very busy over these last few cold days that we've had. And so always keep their phone number top of mind, because they have a great army out there that's out there ready to serve you. 615-567-1000. Heating situations, plumbing situations, electric, of course, the cooling systems in the summer, everything like that. General maintenance, they're ready for you. 615-567-1000. You also can make an online appointment at leecompany.com. Lee Company, let their decades of expertise go to work for you.
Derek Mason, whipping out a nice little jig out here at Pete and Terry's Tavern. You're listening to Chase, Willie, and D-Maze live from Pete and Terry's Tavern here at Bridgestone Arena. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Ginger. All right. We were talking about it beforehand. We were talking about Malik Willis, the possibility of Josh Dobbs maybe getting some playing time against the Cowboys to see if he gives this offense a better look. But the fact that Malik Willis is in this position and that he's playing under these circumstances into the year, all these injuries, trying to basically save this Titans team from drowning, who is to blame for putting this young player, a guy that really needed to sit the full year and really digest and learn the ways of the NFL, how to be a quarterback, how to be a professional, and maybe not even just this year, maybe next year. We'd brought up I'm losing his name right now.
Malik Willis, Joshua Dobbs.
No.
Trevor Lawrence.
No, I forget. But either way. How he needed to sit down for the entire season just to learn to digest. But So who do you all put the blame on?
You know, I go back. I try to remember what I was saying during the preseason as they were letting him play all three of the games. They played him a ton. They didn't play Woodside very much. None of us have ever been really impressed with Woodside, but none of us have ever even seen him in a game to know whether he could play or not. Really, and it became very apparent that they took the leap of faith that Malik Willis was ready to back up. I never thought during that time, I was like, you know what? Can he really be the backup? We discussed it, Derek, a lot during the preseason. Of course, we discussed all hypotheticals in the preseason. But I kept thinking to myself, if he's got to start, like, it's one thing to get by for two games. And the old adage is, of course, if your quarterback is missing more than four or five games, then no matter who your backup is, you're in big trouble. But I just don't think they put him in a position to succeed. And it was a little bit of a roll of the dice to put him in as your backup, as a rookie, knowing that he had never played in a pro system at all. And you knew when you drafted him, he was going to take time to develop. To have him asked to do all this year, I think, was too much to ask.
And I think it kind of comes down to really just a little bit of everybody. I think Mike Vrabel has something to do with this about, you know, elevating him to the backup position, maybe Todd Downing not going out and getting a veteran backup. I'm sorry, not Todd Downing.
John Robinson.
And then, you know, Todd Downing, I don't feel like he's really necessarily scheming up, ways to put him in the best situations. I think that there's different ways to kind of, you know, get Malik to roll out and give him some more time and more read options, RPOs, in order for him to, you know, kind of really sit there and make secular reads and scheme guys open. But we're not necessarily seeing this. And part of it has to do with, you know, the receiving corps. Derek had mentioned earlier that, you know, they're not getting open. They're not creating separation.
It's not a loaded offense around him. Mm-hmm. But again, you're asking too much of a young man who, at Liberty, he's not playing against SEC competition.
No.
He's playing the spread offense where you get the call from the bench or from the sideline. He's in a shotgun every play. It's a totally different world. And it was going to take some time. So now he has been thrown into the frying pan here. And it's just so obvious that it's so limiting what you can do, what you can call. Mm-hmm. They're trying to protect him as much as they can, but they can't. They can't run regular passing plays. You see when he drops back there, some of the passes he has not thrown for 100 yards in a single game.
No.
His quarterback passer rating is 42.8. And that's probably not that big of a surprise, honestly.
No.
But they put themselves in this position, really. Now, I don't know how much better it would be with Woodside or going a different direction. They would have had to budget differently. They would have had to carry a third quarterback, or they'd have to risk having Malik Willis on a practice squad. And they clearly didn't want to do that, but this is what you get.
And again, you know, Malik Willis, as a quarterback in the NFL, you have to be able to throw receivers open. And when he's dropping back there in the pocket, trying to diagnose and read the defense, he's waiting for that guy to be obvious and open up and flash. And simply that they're not. And when you take too much time to try and wait on that, number one, you're getting sacked. He's taking too many sacks. And he's not being able to get the ball into those tight-knitted windows that he needs to. And even sometimes when he does make the right read, these receivers are dropping the ball and making passes. It's just incumbent on a little bit of everything that's just kind of failing for this team. And I'm looking at the depth chart right now, and the only two starting linemen that started the season, Aaron Brewer and Nicholas Petit-Ferrer, both of them are questionable. Like, they're having to sign guys off the street just to be able to come in here and fill an offensive line room. So all this stuff encompassing, I feel like you have to put it on the GM. You have to put it on the coach for not putting him in the right situation. He should have been in a track suit the entire year, sitting on the sideline with the clipboard, watching the backup, watching how the backup helps the quarterback and what they're trying to see and what they're trying to plan to do in order to create and generate success for this offense. And they just simply didn't.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure this out. What was, because these scouts and everyone had him projected, let's just say a top three round pick. He was in the top three rounds.
Yeah.
Malik Willis.
He clearly slipped to the third round.
Exactly.
And they some saw an opportunity of a guy that some guys had a higher grade. I don't know
exactly
what their grade was.
Whatever their grade was. But what was Hugh Freeze able to do at Liberty to put him in a position, Malik Willis, that some people had him projected as a first-round draft pick. Okay, whatever Hugh Freeze did. What is Pat O'Hara not doing that has caused Malik Willis not to make any progress since, you know, training camp. Because to me, if you're watching him on the field, he's not making any – you don't – and I know Vrabel says he's getting better, but point to us where he's getting better.
I'm not seeing it.
I'm not – my eyes is not – now, obviously, they know more than us because they put the game plan together. They know what they want him to do. But from the outside, look, watching the game, he has not done anything that has gotten better, you know. It, from a running standpoint, he's like a guy, a fast guy that can run fast. But y'all seen these kids where you look at him like, man, once he figure out how to really run, he's going to really, like, beat everybody, or she's going to really beat everybody. I've seen guys or girls, their technique was all off, and, you know, they may lose a race, but then they come back the next following year or the next following, you know, match or whatnot, and somebody's gotten to them, and they've honed in their technique. And now that person that lost, they end up winning by a step because of the technique. Well, what are you doing with Malik Willis that is making his technique better, that is making him feel more comfortable when he goes out there? Because it doesn't look like you're doing anything, because he hasn't gotten better, you know, at any aspect of the game. He still looked like the guy that started his first game against – who did he start against?
The Houston Texans.
Yeah, the Houston Texans, yeah. He looks like that – he still looks like that quarterback.
Yes, they haven't added any layers to the passing game that he's able to execute. It's one thing to throw a bad pick here and there, which he has, but it's another thing to do it when you already are not running regular passing plays. Mm-hmm. They're severely limiting the complexity of the passing game with him in there. And they're still throwing picks, and they're not getting any yardage at all. There's nothing that he's doing really well in there that you're really able to build around, or have been able to build around since that time. That's the disturbing thing. And so it just tells me that, A, they asked a little too much of him in the rookie year, and B, of course, they're not able to surround him with a lot of good talent to help him a lot. I mean, maybe in the Houston game they had more people available, right? The Kansas City game.
But he still didn't look good.
No. They were not going to throw the ball. They threw one pass in the second half, fortunately, because they were able to run it so well.
You know, Malik Willis continues to struggle, and this Titans offense in a whole continues to struggle. But coming up next, we're going to talk about another team that has had their own struggles this season that are really working to get their way back into the playoff conversation. That is the Nashville Predators. We will get into some Predators talks coming up next. But first, this Thursday, join Chase, Willie, and D-Mace as they broadcast live from Almost Friday, located downtown at 415 4th Avenue South. The guys will be giving away a pair of tickets to see Luke Combs at Nissan Stadium. That is this Thursday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Almost Friday in downtown Nashville. You're listening to Chase, Willie, and D-Mace here live on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.